Good morning, good day, good noontime, good afternoon, good noon 30, good midday, good evening, good night, good midnight, whatever time of day it is. I want you to know, hey, I'm Lynn Ferguson, and I approve this message. I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennis, and your host here on the show, Lynn's Bends. See, it's a podcast dedicated to Black life in America and all over the world in music. So today, I want to discuss higher education, but more specifically, how Black women fit in. Want to know more? Well, you just sit back, relax. Why don't you grab a snack, pull up a stack, and let's jump in. Lynn's Bends. So I want to talk today about the field of higher education and what it's doing to Black women and girls. But we're going to focus on Black women who are adults for the most part, save for the few younger people who are technically not adults and start college. So there's a video that triggered this to be my very next topic for an episode that I just watched through PBS titled Why Black Women Face Discrimination, Mistreatment in Higher Education. This episode of this news station show is absolutely needed. Everything that they went through, two main things that they continue to speak about, no matter who was speaking in this segment, we heard from very many doctors and different people who work in higher education, including Bridget Goosby. I don't know if she's a doctor. It doesn't have her title of doctor in front of her name, but she's with the University of Texas at Austin. There were many other individuals as well, including Dr. Candace Parrish. I do remember her giving her title as doctor with the University of North Carolina in Wilmington. And they went into descriptions of how these two main recurring things that came up throughout everyone's points were identical. But the two main ones are isolation experienced by these Black women and exclusion faced. And even though those can seem to be, you know, the same thing, they are different. So exclusion being exclusion from certain groups and from certain aid and supports, and isolation being, in my case, in a lot of these women's cases, what you have to do, what one has to do as a Black woman in higher education. Now, this was mainly focusing on the experiences of faculty, of staff, of teachers, of, you know, administrators in higher education. But they did briefly mention that this happens to you as early as your graduate years in school and even earlier. And for me, that is definitely true. I am an undergraduate sophomore, just started my sophomore year this year in 2024 in January in the spring semester. So I've got a long way to go to get my JD to practice law. And it's just crazy because it's just like everything that they were talking about is exactly right. One of the women spoke about how different attacks on your character and your reputation and your credibility can be very devastating and difficult to deal with because, and this was said by Dr. Shia Crowder of Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles, California. And it's such a poignant point. It's so real. The veracity of it is undeniable. I've mentioned before, but I'll mention again, within the first few days of me being at this university, I was battling a court case in a corrupt kangaroo court convened by Judge Kingsley. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't get any crazier than that. I'm not trying to continue to use these cuz, these K's and these C's, but hey, you know, let it rhyme, it be divine. But yeah, so it's just crazy because it's just like, I've been kicked out of classrooms for telling white female students I didn't appreciate how they spoke with me. Literally in those exact words, I don't appreciate how you just spoke to me. Lynn, okay, I'm going to have to ask you to leave now. I have been reprimanded by teacher's assistants for asking them if they speak Spanish because their name was as Latin as Epifanio Vargas. That wasn't his name, but it was basically that Latin. I've been in kangaroo courts because RAs, residential advisors, you know, who maintain the peace on their floors, decided that they wanted to report me, and by they I mean him, instead of knocking on my door and asking me to sing a little bit quieter at 10 something in the morning when we were able to make noise and it was not a quiet time hour. I've been stalked on this campus and had my dorm almost broken into twice, attempts being made by another student, a Latina, who was not reprimanded for the situation, as I was not believed. That can be the only explanation I can think of that would lead them to not take action in the case the way they should have. I don't even know what they did after I finally was able to prove what happened, because one of her friends came to me and let me know that she was now an ex-friend because the girl was crazy and she was on some bullshit. And the only reason that she didn't come out and, in her own words, tell the truth about the harassment that her friend was putting me through, so she lied. The only reason she didn't come forth, she informed me, is because one of the dudes in their group was accused of rape by this girl on her behalf. The girl who was coming to me on her behalf. So that Latina accused her of this guy of raping the girl who came to me in my inbox and denounced their friendship. She and this Alejandra chick in my episode, Asnal Alejandra. So it's just crazy because it's just like, these are just a few of the things that I've gone through at this school. There's been a lot. And the majority of what I deal with, it's much more nuanced. It's more of like hazing and torment and torture. And this episode of PBS comes on the heels of a Lincoln University, I believe, in Missouri. A Lincoln University administrator, a Black woman by the name of Dr. Antoinette Bonnie Candia Bailey, who committed suicide, allegedly, after writing scathing notes and letters about an HBCU administrator at Lincoln, a white man who is the president, John Mosley, of bullying her and harassing and hazing her for God knows how long. Those are the letters that this woman chose to write in her wake. You know what I mean? Well, not in her wake, but like, you know, obviously, you know, in preparation for her transition to the next life. And it's just crazy because it's just like, what are we talking about here? Like, so I was literally just in the comment section of a video where a man was arrested for going to his daughter's school and defending his daughter against this male student who was constantly harassing her. Now, he did go too far. He got physical with this student, all kinds of stuff. He didn't hit the student, but still, you know? And everyone in the comment section, and of course in the video, was denouncing what he did and condemning it and basically saying that, you know, you should have let the school handle it. But it's like, obviously the school wasn't handling it. That's why he showed up. Like, I mean, that's just most of our assumptions in the comment section. A lot of us have made the same assumption because we understand that we live within an era that has so many children committing suicide. These kids are dropping like flies out here. They're committing suicide. Since when do kids commit suicide? This is not the Great Depression. This is not the Great Depression. It's just insane. And no one cares about it. And I was in the comments talking about how nobody cares about what these kids go through. And no one cares about bullying in general. Whether it's in adult spaces or child spaces, children's spaces, there is no care for bullying. People just say, oh, okay, well, you have to deal with it. And you're left to your own devices on how you're going to deal with these things. And then we wonder why some people choose to go get a gun. Why some people choose to get violent. You don't do anything about this. You really don't. There's a concerted effort to not do a damn thing about bullying. It's accepted as a part of American society. And this is why we have so many fucked up individuals. You want to fix the society? Stop priding yourself in how tough you can be and start acknowledging how weak and vulnerable you can be as well. And we all can be. Jeez Louise, you fucking skis. Like, I'm just so sick of it. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. I deal with this stuff on a regular basis at this school. And to think that this is happening to administrators who are, in some cases, committing suicide as a result of it. Like, it's crazy. But it's also not surprising to me, not just because I was an adult for a long time before I went to college. So I know it happens to adults. College isn't going to be like some fantasy land where racism doesn't exist. But it is insane to have to watch my professor, a black doctor at my university, teaching in my major, criminology and criminal justice, have to deal with her white coworkers who are coming in and interrupting her classes. Like, none of the students matter in her class, and like, she doesn't matter. Challenging her authority in front of the students by basically coming in 2 minutes early and saying, oh, we have this room reserved. Hurry it up, basically, is what she said. And the professor had to hold her own and keep her composure and let the woman know, yes, we still have 2 minutes. And the woman stood there and she said something else in response that was like quippy. So it was just like, and she stood there for a minute and like, you know, started talking with the students and stuff and all this other bullshit while we're in this class in the auditorium. Girl, walk right back out kindly with your students and stop disrupting the last 2 minutes we have of this class. And it was also when I was speaking, so I was upset as well, because often we would hit the end of the class and I would be, you know, called on, and then I would be like the last person called on because I spoke so much that people would usually kind of put me at the end because they knew that I was going to have something to say. And a lot of the time I'd be speaking and the bell would ring and people would, I don't think there's a bell that rings, but people would just get up and they'd be leaving out and shit. So here I have like 2 minutes to get my point out real quick. And even then I have to deal with being cut off. Like, it was ridiculous. But this is what we go through on a regular basis. Sometimes it's hazing. Most times it's hazing. Other times it's very abrasive, in your face, direct bullshit. Sometimes it is emotionally harmful, mostly, if not only. Other times it is academically harmful and endangers you as a person in your field with your goals and credentials. You know, there are people who actively have tried to take away. There are multiple times that I have been in positions to actively get reprimands that could lose me my placement at this university. One of which was me smoking a fucking cigarette. A bitch who works here, whose son goes to this school, complained the first semester I was here that I was smoking a cigarette. She accused me of being the one to litter all over, cigarette butts all over the dorm that I was living in Fuse Hall. And it was crazy because it's just like, okay, but you never saw a single one of these butts here before I got here 2 weeks ago. I hadn't even been here long enough to litter this place with butts. And I actually keep my butts on me because I understand I'm at a nice university and in these white spaces, I don't get the privilege of throwing a butt to the ground after smoking a cigarette. Because that's a big enough offense to lose me my placement at this university. So I ended up getting a meeting called to, because I reported her and I reported the situation and they ended up basically calling me in for some kind of like investigation to figure out whether or not I was smoking cigarettes on campus. Something I admitted in the report that I made about the woman harassing me with her son. And they tried to make the entire situation about that instead of the harassment that I was facing and the lies that were coming out of her and her son's mouth because she claimed that her son was there and that he saw me smoking and he was never even in the situation. He was never there. To this day, I don't know who the fuck he is. She claimed that he was there and that he saw the situation take place as well. So it's like, you got a teacher up here lying on a brand new black student at this university because she's mad because she's an anti-smoker. And she's trying to put the jeopardy, put the career of this black student in jeopardy over a fucking cigarette with lies that she is telling. And having her son tell who goes to this school. And I sent her an email and I let her know you put your and your son's future at this institution in jeopardy by being ridiculous and racist. And they have the nerve to issue me a warning and a basically kind of like a school implemented and official restraining order, basically, where we cannot talk with each other. And it was basically, she can't talk to me, I can't talk to her. So it wasn't just on me. It wasn't like it was something on my record or something that Lynn was disciplined in this way. It's not taken as discipline. But we all know what the fuck that was. That was something that they could have in my record, so to speak, that would, you know, show that, you know, oh, this girl is hostile. This girl is this. This girl is that. Because I did what? I was an adult and I sent a woman an email. Do you see what I'm saying here? I sent a woman an email letting her know I didn't appreciate how she spoke with me and what she did to me or tried to. And you reprimanded me because of what? They tried to claim it was borderline harassment when I asked them that in the meeting. And I was like, number one, you can't say it's harassment because it's not. And that's why you didn't. And the fact that you're even trying to associate it with harassment is ridiculous. I voiced my opinion. You don't get to call someone harasser because they voiced their opinion to you in a fucking email. Girl, do you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it just goes to show this is the kind of stuff that we have to deal with on a regular basis. And they will do anything that they possibly can. And one of the things that Dr. Parrish mentioned in that special, that PBS special, is that she has gotten to the point at which she can't even, with good conscience, encourage people to join this profession, to look into degrees in higher education and working in higher education, because she can't vouch for what their experience is going to be. She can't attest to what their experience is going to be. And she honestly can only attest to what her negative experience was for the most part. And I've been thinking the same thing. Like, the fact that this could be my alma mater, or at least this could be my, I could be an alumni from this school, you know, graduating, this, that, and the third. And it would make it easier for, you know, my family and other people younger than me to come after me. But it's like, why would I want anybody to come after me? Why would I encourage someone to go through what I'm going through right now? Yes, the benefit is amazing. But unless I'm your mother and I've raised you from birth to be ready for this type of shit, babe, I'm not going to go and convince some random person I did not raise and I don't know like that to go in and involve themselves in a situation like this where if it doesn't work out, you'll be in a worse situation than when you started. If it does work out, you're still going to be in a pretty bad situation because you're going to be debt ridden. But if it doesn't work out, you're just going to be debt ridden without a degree, and you'll have wasted all this time doing stuff that you really, if you never end up getting that degree or completing that degree, you never need it, or it's never going to actually benefit you. You know? It's really messed up. And with me, it's real messed up because, like, this is not just an any old thing. Like, this is a situation where I am. In Missouri, you have to go to school to be an attorney. You have to go to law school. So this is my easiest way to get into law school because it would be much cheaper and much better if I went to a law school that is connected to the university I'm going to right now for undergraduate. So if I go to SLU Law School. But if I were to, let's say, get kicked out or whatever the case may be, you know, whether it was because of grades or whether it's because of, you know, behavior, what have you, it would be almost impossible for me to get back into the groove of things and actually make this journey worth something, aside from just the knowledge that I gained that I could use in life. Because it would be all this debt that I've accrued, and then it would be no benefit. Because it's like, no one would give me any kind of motherfucking loan money or scholarship money or anything like that if I were kicked out of college or something or dropped out. So it'd just be a really bad situation because it would all be on me financially. I'd have to immediately figure out those financials, which wouldn't happen because the reason I'm going to school and putting myself through all of this, including all of this debt, is because I know that this is the easiest way for me to get money, the kind of money that would even be able to provide an education like this. It's crazy to think about the fact that you have to, you know, you're paying for something. You're working your ass off so that you can afford something that you're working, that you have to work your ass off to get. You know? It's weird. I could word that differently, but that works. But I just wanted to talk about this because it's a real issue, and I'm glad that they're, you know, really talking about it, especially with DEI being taken out of the schools and ruled unconstitutional and this, that, and the third, because it's like, what the fuck, you know? Like, we already had issues, and now we got to deal with this. Now we got to deal with these motherfuckers out here trying to keep you from even being able to do anything whatsoever. You can't even fucking go to court and have precedent set for you to be treated like a human being with the enforcement and implementation of DEI practices within businesses, especially educational businesses across the country, because the school is still a business. But we really need to deal with this problem of bullying, because clearly it's not just a kid issue. It's not just a, oh, you know, get over it, you should have left that in high school issue. It's a lifelong thing. And I've known this for a while because I'm almost 30, and I still struggle with, you know, the bullying that I experienced growing up. It shapes the way that I interact with people on a regular basis. You can't make yourself grow out of something. You just have to grow as your body grows. You know, you can induce growth, but you cannot force it to happen. You have to literally grow. Growing is not something that you force yourself to do. It is something that happens. And it just naturally happens. And we have to acknowledge how much our childhood shapes the people we end up becoming in adulthood. Your childhood shapes the adult you will become. And if you went through nothing but bullying and constant ridicule and harassment, then it will shape the type of person you will be in your future. And it has shaped me. I'm a very nervous person. I hide it in a lot of ways, but sometimes it comes out for full display. And it makes me look even weirder than people already want to fucking categorize me as. So be it. But it wouldn't be the case if you all didn't fucking try to make fun of my ass for being weird in the first fucking place and make me weird by fucking being labeled that and having to contend with that and accept that, basically. And, you know, to think that there are Black grown women who are 2 times my age committing suicide because of stuff like that, it's ridiculous. But I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show, and I welcome you next time. We'll jump in. Lynn's and Ben's.